Many of us think of Moroni as the prophet historian who deposited the golden plates in the hill Cumorah, as the resurrected messenger who directed Joseph Smith to obtain and translate those records in the 1820s, and as the angel whose image crowns the spires of many of our temples, trumpeting the latter-day restoration of the gospel. But according to a former member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Moroni has been given another role in the Lord's work, which is not yet fulfilled. This insight came from Elder Orson Hyde, who presided for many years over the members of the church here in San Pete County. In fact, his grave is just a few miles away from here in Spring City, and I may stop by there on my way home today just to see it. The setting for Elder Hyde's remarks was a 4th of July celebration held in Salt Lake City in the year 1854. After describing the miraculous events by which the American people gained their independence in 1776, Elder Hyde said, quote, "It may not be amiss to ask here by whose power victory so often perched on our banner. It was by the agency of that same angel of God that appeared unto Joseph Smith and revealed to him the history of the early inhabitants of this country. This same angel presides over the destinies of America and feels a lively interest in all our doings. He was in the camp of Washington and by an invisible hand led on our fathers to victory, and all this to open and prepare the way for the church and kingdom of God to be established on the Western Hemisphere for the redemption of Israel and the salvation of the world. This same angel was with Columbus and gave him deep impressions by dreams and by visions respecting this new world. The angel of God helped him, was with him on the stormy deep, calmed the troubled elements, and guided his frail vessel to the desired haven. Under the guardianship of this same angel, the Prince of America, have the United States grown, increased, and flourished. The peculiar respect that heaven has for this country on account of the promises made to the fathers and on account of its being the land where the mustard seed of truth was planted and destined to grow in the last days accounts for all this good fortune to our beloved America. But since the prophets have been slain, the saints persecuted, despoiled of their goods, banished from their homes, and no earthly arm to interpose for their rescue, what will be the future destiny of this highly favored country? So sure and certain as the great watercourses wend their way to the ocean, just so sure and certain will the guardian angel of these United States fly to a remote distance from their borders, and the anger of the Almighty wax hot against them, and causing them to drink from the cup of bitterness and division. And the very dregs stirred up by the hands of foreign powers, in a manner more cruel and fierce than the enemies of the saints in the day of their greatest distress and anguish. Had the United States been as faithful a guardian to the Latter-day Saints as the angel of God has been to them, she would never know dissolution, nor be humbled in dishonor by the decrees of any foreign powers. Yet, when justice is satisfied and the blood of martyrs atoned for, the guardian angel of America will return to his station, resume his charge, and restore the Constitution of our country to the respect and veneration of the people, for it was given by the inspiration of our God." End quote. My subject today, America, the Constitution, and the Kingdom of God, is prompted by both the location and the season in which we are meeting. Not only are we near a holy place dedicated by an ancient prophet who was to become the guardian angel of America, as Elder Hyde called him, but also the day before yesterday was the 210th anniversary of the signing of the Constitution of the United States. No people have greater cause to honor the American Constitution than members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Lord Himself has declared that that inspired document should be maintained for the rights and protection of all flesh according to just and holy principles. And for this purpose, the Lord said, have I established the constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom I raised up unto this very purpose and redeemed the land by the shedding of blood. Now I want to emphasize that the founding fathers of this country, including the framers of our Constitution, were men of high moral character. Since the 1970s, a number of books, articles, and television programs have accused Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and other early American statesmen of being immoral or dishonest men. For many years, I studied the lives and the teachings of these men from primary historical documents written by themselves and their contemporaries. The accusations I'm referring to were invented by their political enemies and were published in the tabloids of that era, and they're being dredged up today by writers and producers who are motivated by something much less honorable than historical accuracy. I testify that America's founding fathers were God-fearing men who adhered to a high standard of personal morality, and that we have no reason to be ashamed of those whom the Lord raised up to establish the liberty and the government of our nation. President Wilford Woodruff once said, those men who laid the foundation of this American government were the best spirits the God of heaven could find on the face of the earth. They were choice spirits, not wicked men. General Washington and all the men that labored for the purpose were inspired of the Lord. Those men called upon me as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple at St. George two consecutive nights and demanded at my hands that I should go forth and attend to the ordinances of the house of God for them. Would those spirits have called upon me as an elder in Israel to perform that work if they had not been noble spirits before God? They would not. End quote. Modern prophets have taught that the establishment of a free government in this land was a necessary prelude to the latter-day restoration of the gospel, and that the Constitution must be upheld to safeguard America as the base of operations for the kingdom of God on earth. This helps us understand why President David O. McKay taught, quote, next to being one in worshiping God, there is nothing in this world upon which this church should be more united than in upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States, end quote. As Latter-day Saints, we believe that America is the land where Adam walked and prayed and blessed his posterity. We believe that it is a land which is choice above all other lands, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. We also believe that Zion, the New Jerusalem, will be built upon the American continent. Now, speaking of the future city of Zion, the Lord has said, and it shall be a new Jerusalem, and the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. Furthermore, he said, it shall be a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it, and it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and shall come to Zion, singing with songs of everlasting joy. Out of Zion shall go forth the law, said the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And in our dispensation, the Lord has declared that the day will come when the kingdoms of this world will be constrained to acknowledge that the kingdom of Zion is in very deed the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Therefore, let us become subject to her laws. John the Revelator, who beheld in a vision the kingdom of our God and his Christ, prophesied that it would be brought forth by the church of God. We presently speak of the church and the kingdom as being synonymous, but they will eventually become two distinct organizations. Elder Bruce R. McConkie wrote, quote, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on earth. It is the kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left to other people. It is the kingdom which shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. But for the present, it functions as an ecclesiastical kingdom only. With the millennial advent, the kingdom of God on earth will step forth and exercise political jurisdiction over all the earth, as well as ecclesiastical jurisdiction over its own citizens. When the saints pray according to the Lord's pattern, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven,' they are petitioning the Father to send the political or millennial kingdom so that complete righteousness, both civically and religiously, will prevail on earth." End quote. This raises an interesting question. Why would people who are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints be willing to submit to the laws and protection of such a kingdom? Within the last few years, we have witnessed the complete disintegration of national governments in Eastern Europe, Africa, and other parts of the world. This terrifying trend will accelerate as we move toward the final days before the Savior's second coming, leaving more and more nations incapable of safeguarding the rights or even the physical safety of their own citizens. The scriptures testify that as the world continues to sink into violence and immorality, the inhabitants of the earth shall be made to feel the wrath and indignation and chastening hand of an almighty God until the consumption decreed hath made a full end of all nations. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take his sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another." End quote. President John Taylor described the conditions in which these things will occur. He said, "The day is not far distant when this nation will be shaken from center to circumference, and then will be fulfilled that prediction found in one of the revelations given through the prophet Joseph Smith. Those who will not take up their sword to fight against their neighbor must needs flee to Zion for safety. And they will come, saying, 'We do not know anything of the principles of your religion, but we perceive that you are an honest community. You administer justice and righteousness, and we want to live with you and receive the protection of your laws. But as for your religion, we will talk about that some other time.'" Will we protect such people? Yes. All honorable men, when the people shall have torn to shreds the Constitution of the United States, the elders of Israel will be found holding it up to the nations of the earth and proclaiming liberty and equal rights to all men and extending the hand of fellowship to the oppressed of all nations. End quote. Another insight comes from President George Q. Cannon, who served as a counselor to four presidents of the church. President Cannon explained that a man may belong to the kingdom of God and yet not be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, the Church of God. In the kingdom of God, there may be heathens and pagans, Mohammedans and Latter-day Saints, Presbyterians and Episcopalians, and Catholics and men of every creed. Will the laws that they enact protect us alone and not protect others? No. Why? Because God is the Father of every human being. God is the Father of all, is the Father of the Chinaman, the Hindu, the African, the European, the American, is the Father of all the races of men and of every creed and nationality. When he establishes his kingdom, it will protect all in their equal rights. Furthermore, he said, there may be men acting as officers in the kingdom of God who will not be members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. On this point, the prophet Joseph gave particular instructions before his death that men might be chosen to officiate as members of the kingdom of God who had no standing in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. End quote. Now, as we contemplate the future course of the Lord's latter-day work, it becomes clear that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. President Gordon B. Hinckley opened the October 1992 General Conference of the Church by quoting the following statement from President Ezra Taft Benson. Here was a prophet quoting a prophet. This is the last and great dispensation in which the great consummation of God's purposes will be made. The only dispensation in which the Lord has promised that sin will not prevail. The church will not be taken from the earth again. It is here to stay. The Lord has promised it, and you are a part of that church and kingdom, the nucleus around which will be builded the great kingdom of God on the earth. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God on the earth will be combined together at Christ's coming, and that time is not far distant. How I wish we could get the vision of this work, the genius of it, and realize the nearness of that great event. I am sure it would have a sobering effect upon us if we realized what is before us. End quote. Now, I hope that many of you are asking, how can I better prepare myself to bring forth or to help bring forth and establish the cause of Zion, as the Lord said? I believe the most important thing we can do is to live as a righteous and moral people, because the Lord has said that Zion consists of the pure in heart, and that Zion cannot be built up unless it is by the principles of the law of the celestial kingdom. Otherwise, I cannot receive her unto myself. Wherefore, hear my voice and follow me, and you shall be a free people, and ye shall have no laws but my laws when I come, for I am your lawgiver, and what can stay my hand? Another part of our preparation, I believe, is to learn and uphold the inspired principles of free government. In a future day, those who represent the kingdom of God will be called upon to teach and administer those principles to the entire world. President George Q. Cannon, again, stated, "The elders of Israel are now ambassadors to the nations from the court of heaven, bearing the gospel of salvation to the children of men." And brethren, may I see by a show of hands, and sisters too, how many of you have served or plan to serve a full-time mission for the church? God bless you all. You are the people that he's talking about here. But listen to what he says next. "But the time will come when they will be called to act in a different ambassadorial capacity. The nations are not going to be all destroyed at once, as many have imagined, but they are going to stand and continue to some extent with their governments. The kingdom of God is not all the time to continue its present theological character alone, but it is to become a political power, known and recognized by the powers of the earth. And you, my brethren, may have to be sent forth to represent that power as its accredited agents. The time will also come," he added, "when the servants of God in possession of the holy priesthood will be called upon to go forth and preside over the various communities, tribes, and nations of the earth, and to administer the laws of Zion in righteousness, justice, and mercy." End quote. Now, that may be one reason why the Lord's revelations to his church include instructions like these. "I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you. that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that are expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and in the earth and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and the perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and a knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms, that ye may be prepared in all things. Study and learn and become acquainted with all good books and with languages, tongues, and people. And verily I say unto you that it is my will that you should hasten to obtain a knowledge of history and of countries and of kingdoms, of laws of God and man, and all this for the salvation of Zion. Now I would like to express, if I may, something of a caution to those who want to learn the principles of freedom. Many who start out on that path get sidetracked and eventually become obsessed with studying and denouncing the wrongs committed by our government or the secret combination which seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries, as it's called in the Book of Mormon, speaking of these last days. We need to be aware of such things, but we also need to remember that God is going to win. The Book of Mormon assures us that all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear. I believe it is far more productive to focus on the work of God than on the work of Satan. We read in the New Testament that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But His Spirit does not thrive in an atmosphere of negativism and alarmism. That which doth not edify is not of God and is darkness. There are even some who violate the law in the belief that they are moving forward the cause of patriotism and righteousness. But the Lord has given His people this commandment: let no man break the laws of the land, for he that keepeth the laws of God hath no need to break the laws of the land. Wherefore, be subject to the powers that be, until he reigns whose right it is to reign and subdues all enemies under his feet. We must not try to get ahead of the wagon train as we labor to build the kingdom in our present responsibilities. No one can force the Lord's timetable. Those who attempt to do so may be in danger of steadying the ark and may even become accusers of the brethren. On the other hand, those who understand that the laws of the kingdom are given by the prophets of God will listen to and follow the counsel of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Speaking of the president of the church in particular, the Lord has said, wherefore, meaning the church, thou shalt give heed unto all his words and commandments, which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive, as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. For by doing these things the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, yea, and the Lord God will disperse the powers of darkness from before you, and cause the heavens to shake for your good and his name's glory. Let us focus our time and energies not on the program of the adversary, but on the kingdom of God. Satan is negative. God is positive. Satan is a destroyer. God is a creator. And we need to keep our eye on what he is building, because we want to help him build it. Revelations given in the 1830s spoke of a day when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would literally come forth out of the wilderness and would arise and shine forth to become a standard for the nations. Since that time, the church has grown from 6 members to approximately 10 million, and the majority of those live in countries other than the United States. Today, the church also enjoys favorable media coverage throughout the world. Two recent examples in this country are the Mike Wallace interviews on the television program 60 Minutes and last month's cover article in Time magazine. Now, all of these things and others indicate that the Lord's kingdom is, in fact, coming out of obscurity and being prepared to fulfill its divine mission. President Gordon B. Hinckley has testified, "This cause in which we are engaged is not an ordinary cause. It is the cause of Christ. It is the kingdom of God, our eternal Father. It is the building of Zion on the earth, the fulfillment of prophecy given of old and of a vision revealed in this dispensation. Under its present organization, it has been moving forward for only a little more than a century and a half. It will continue, ever growing and spreading over the earth as part of a great millennial pattern until the time comes when he whose right it is to reign will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords," end quote. And in the April 1995 General Conference, during which you and I sustained President Hinckley as the 15th prophet, seer, and revelator to preside over the church, he declared, quote, "The time has come for us to lift our eyes and stretch our minds to a greater comprehension and understanding of the grand millennial mission of this, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is a season to be strong. It is a time to move forward without hesitation, knowing well the meaning, the breadth, and the importance of our mission. We have nothing to fear. God is at the helm. He will overrule for the good of this work. The little stone which was cut out of the mountain without hands, as seen in Daniel's vision, is rolling forth to fill the whole earth. No force under the heavens can stop it if we will walk in righteousness and be faithful and true. The Almighty Himself is at our head," end quote. Now, there may be some who are troubled about the events that will precede the second coming. But the Savior once said to his disciples, "Be not troubled, for when all these things shall come to pass, ye may know that the promises which have been made unto you shall be fulfilled." Conditions in the world will descend farther and farther into darkness and destruction, but conditions among the Lord's covenant people will grow brighter and brighter until He Himself comes to reign in Zion. That is where we want to be. And that is where we will be if we are wise enough to follow His servants and take the Holy Spirit for our guide. We have no need to worry about the future. I know and testify that all flesh and all nations are in the hands of God, that He is right on schedule, and that every promise He has made to His faithful saints will be abundantly fulfilled. May we live to be worthy of those promises as we strive to help build His Latter-day Church and kingdom. I humbly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.